Come all you scoffers and hear me tell how the Chickasaw country slipped down to hell. Oh, the earth did tremble and quiver and shake, and my heart's still jumping from the great earthquake.
It was 142 years ago that the earth trembled over in West Tennessee when the Mississippi rolled backward into the forest. And Real Foot Lake was born. Of course, I remember. A yarn spinner remembers everything. So settle back, and I'll tell you another of Tennessee's tall tales. The day the earth trembled.
Tall tales I can tell you, so listen and learn. There are ghosts in the valley, and they long to return.
1811 was the year it happened. On a December morning when fog rolled across the moon like steam across a mirror, the air was full of a sulfur smell, like somebody had left open the door to hell itself. Up in the Chickasaw Territory, they knew why it happened. They knew about Chief Realfoot's love for the Choctaw girl named Laughing Eyes. That love brought a terrible curse down on Chief Realfoot's people. But I'm getting ahead of the story. Let's look at the land as it was before the river poured in.
Green was the land and fair to see, a wild turkey setting on every tall tree. Streams trickling through like silvery bands, sun shone peaceful on the Chickasaw lands.
Old Realfoot was the chief of the Chickasaws, and the tribe was happy to be hunting in the green forests, fishing in the bayous. But Realfoot wasn't happy. The young women in his tribe, silly and vain they were, laughed at him for the club foot that made him limp. So Realfoot went into the Choctaw country, hunting for a bride.
Chief Realfoot smoked a pipe of peace, while he vainly asked for the soon release of a Choctaw girl named Laughing Eyes, naming the riches he'd give for this prize.
I will give many beaver skins, Chief Kopish, for your daughter Laughing Eyes. I will give fine pearls shining white from the great river. And if you do not give me Laughing Eyes, I will steal her.
Beware, beware, Realfoot. The wrath of the Choctaw is powerful. If you steal Laughing Eyes, the earth will rock in anger. Waters will swallow the Chickasaw villages and your people will perish. Maybe you don't believe my story. Shaw, I can hear you saying, a plumb outlandish romantical notion. Love isn't mixed up with earthquakes. Tell us what really happened. Tell us what educated, realistic folks said about it. All right, I will. Here's a lady in New Madrid, Missouri, just across the Mississippi from the Tennessee shore. She's writing to her brother, the Reverend Lorenzo Dow.
My dear Lorenzo, the morning of December 15th was cloudy, and a dense fog prevailed. Toward nightfall, the heavens showed signs of great distress.
She's a sensible lady and not given to flights of fancy. You can believe what she says.
At 5 o'clock in the morning of the 16th, we were rocked by a terrible jolt, and I heard the rumbling of what sounded like distant cannon. The atmosphere was completely saturated with a sulfurous vapor. The moon shone brilliantly, but the earth beneath was plunged into darkness. I shall never forget the wailing voices, the stampeding animals, the crash of falling timber, and the roaring of the Mississippi River. The earth waved like a sea, and there were great mountains of water boiling up in the river. Prayer, fainting, flight. We took refuge in these things, according to our judgment and our situation.
Now, sir, your name is...
I am Nicholas Roosevelt, in command of the first steamboat to navigate the Mississippi.
Where were you when the earthquake struck?
We were bound from Pittsburgh to New Orleans. At New Madrid, Missouri, the citizens stampeded us and begged for passage away from their town. And in addition to all my other worries, which were many, you may be sure, inasmuch as the river was covered with drift timber and the waves increasingly high, a band of Indians pursued us.
Indians? Really? That'll make a great news dispatch for me, sir. Tell me more.
I am told that they called my vessel a fire canoe and sought to destroy us. I ordered up more steam, more speed, and we eluded the savages.
Then what happened?
Fire broke out aboard due to Greenwood being placed too near an overheated stove. But prompt work saved the vessel, although much interior woodwork was destroyed. Some distance away, I deemed it prudent to anchor at a sloping riverbank. The shocks of the earthquake continued at short intervals all night. In the morning light, I discovered, to my astonishment, that the riverbank had completely disappeared.
I go along with the captain on what happened. It was all pretty strange and mystifying to me. I beg your pardon. Walker's my name. I've been hunting and fishing on Real Foot River and Dog Bayou ever since I come to the Chickasaw country about 10 years back. Pretty little stream, the Real Foot River. Middling big, that's all. Good fishing, though. Well, I beached my canoe this day and struck off into the woods. That's where I was when the earth started having the shakes. When I finally got back to where I'd left my canoe, it was gone. There was no sign of Real Foot River, nor Dog Bayou, neither, just water. Water as far as I could see. Gol darn it, I never lost a canoe and a river and a bayou all in the same day.
My name is Bradbury, John Bradbury. I'm a naturalist and a friend of your Mr. Jefferson. And oh yes, I'm an Englishman. I was on the river on the night of December 16, 1811. About 10 o'clock, I was awakened by a terrible noise accompanied by so violent an agitation of the boat that it appeared in danger of upsetting. The patron, that is, the captain of the boat, and most of the crew were Frenchmen from New Orleans. Four of them burst into my cabin, shouting, "Mon Dieu, Monsieur Bradbury, qu'est-ce qu'il y a?" Above the crashing of trees and screaming of wild fowl, I tried to reassure them. "Restez-vous tranquille," I said. "C'est un tremblement de terre. It is an earthquake." Immediately the banks above and below us began to fall into the river in such vast masses as to nearly sink our boat by the swell they occasioned. The crew were beside themselves, calling out that they were about to perish. I told the patron of the boat to give them each a glass of spirits to steady them. But in going ashore, we were almost thrown to the earth by the severity of the shocks. Back on the river, we had to zigzag to safety through the Devil's Channel, which was choked with fallen timber. I had an idea that all nature was in the process of dissolution. However, at Chickasaw Bluffs, which you now call Memphis, I had it all explained to me. We were entreated to come ashore there, only to find that most of the residents had fled to the hills for safety. One of the men who stayed behind told me what had caused the great upheaval. It was the result of a comet that had appeared a few months before. The comet had two horns, he explained to me. The earth had already rolled over one, and was now trying to roll over the other. Should the earth successfully surmount the comet's horn, all would be well, this gentleman said. If the effort failed, the destruction of the world was inevitable. Since we are all of us still here, I can only assume that the world has leaped over the comet's horn.
Chief Real Foot dared the Choctaw tribe and stole Laughing Eyes to be his bride. On their wedding day, as the tom-toms beat, the earth split open underneath their feet. Thunder roared in the winter skies, and the Mississippi began to rise in waves as tall as the highest tree, till the waters spread far as the eye could see. One night a year, so I've been told, the lake drains dry as it was of old, and there at the bottom you can see Chief Real Foot's village, as it used to be. On top of Old Smoky, all covered with snow, a wind is a-blowing to the valleys below. It sighs in the windows, it cries at the door, telling me stories I heard long ago.